This is the Paper Planes podcast, where we take a deep dive into some of the week's most notable business and marketing stories and interview high-performing business leaders and marketing professionals to find out their lessons for success.
Welcome to episode number 85 of the Paper Planes marketing podcast. This is a very special one. We have a panel of guests with us today. I'm going to introduce them quickly, and then we're going to go through what we're going to talk about today. So I have with me Lachlan McPherson, who is the CEO of HealthSight, which is a digital business dedicated to the healthcare industry. We have a second-time podcast guest, Louisa Dahl, the CEO of Interactive Minds, which provides events and training and development programs to the marketing industry. And then we have a person who's been on this podcast far too many times, Dr. Edwina Luck, who is a senior lecturer at QU Business School in advertising, marketing, and public relations. So welcome everybody to the show.
Thank you.
Now, obviously what we're going to talk about today, that we put this together quite quickly, is the turmoil and the change that is happening around the world at the moment around the coronavirus. It is impacting a lot of people, both physically and their well-being, and also impacting a lot of people from a business perspective. But what we want to do is try and get some insights and feedback from you guys today about how we should be tackling this crisis, for want of a better word, from a marketing perspective, because in my opinion, it's a fairly dangerous ground in the way that people would communicate their business through this time. So we've got some questions. I'm going to sort of throw them out to the panel there. But I actually want to start with Louisa, because the event industry, the destination tourism industry, which you are obviously a key part of here in Brisbane, is probably going to be hit the hardest. And if they haven't already been hit, they're going to be hit quite hard in the next few months. Just give us an insight as to how you see the landscape of this for your industry at the moment.
Yeah, thank you. Look, I think in the last week, obviously, it's changed dramatically. And even this morning, further announcements have been made now saying that no gatherings of more than 100 people inside are permitted. And I think it's 500 people if you're outside. So obviously, that impacts nearly everyone hosting any kind of corporate events, as well as a whole range of other social ones, no doubt, too. But from the corporate event side of things, we actually had an event today. This was planned about a month ago or more. So it was originally a face-to-face event that we were having, and we typically expect 150 people to that. So this was for marketers. So we did switch it to an online event about a week ago, a few days ago. And I'm happy to say that we had about 70% people show up today.
Oh, cool.
So we had that event this morning.
Yeah.
We ran it on Zoom. We had a little bit of camera sharing, and then we went on with the standard format of mostly presentations. And the event ran for about 2.5 hours. And we had, about 60 to 70% all up throughout that session attended in real time for our live event. So that's a really great outcome, we think, because obviously when it's recorded, you can get the recording later as well. And that's always the temptation. I think it helped us that people had this in their calendar already and they were already blocking out the time.
Do you think that's a viable solution? I mean, obviously, for your type of event, that's a viable solution. But, people where events where attendance is much more important, how do they, what do they do? What's the approach at a time like this?
I think there's lots of different opportunities, and I think people are willing to embrace the online events. But I also think just because they're available doesn't mean that everyone should be going out and creating a new online event at the moment, because otherwise that will, create too many for people to choose from and result in something that we don't want to happen in terms of people turning up. And there was an interesting email, I think it was a blog article from Seth Godin yesterday, actually, around online events and opportunities and how to use online. And I think he made some really good points. So I'd encourage anyone to go to his blog, Seth Godin, and check it out. But in essence, and from memory here, he had a few really good points around what type of events need to be online, in-person events, versus which ones can be shared as information that we're sending out.
Yeah.
And he really angled to the fact that really it's only if you're interacting that you really need to be having live online events. And there's some really good tools available to encourage discussion between people online as well, like Zoom and some of the features in Zoom and the breakout rooms and things like that that are possible. So I found that really interesting, and I suppose that's encouraged me to think about how we can run events that are more interactive and giving people that opportunity to still network and talk to each other, albeit in a different environment online.
Do you think this will change the events industry permanently?
I think people will maybe see the value of digital events more in this way. I mean, I think we're generally by nature creatures that do want to, you know, interact and network with each other face to face. So I think that's always going to be a strong part of it, and it will come back. But hopefully this will also open up people's ability and options to attend other types of events as well.
Lachlan, you're dealing with industry that is probably, you know, I mean, and you can tell me better than this, that is probably not going to suffer as much within this crisis, and perhaps potentially even benefit from it, the health industry. How is it affecting, you know, the sort of clients that you deal with?
Oh, it's look, it's complete chaos. I would say sum it up in one word, because the landscape, the information, it seems to be changing, you know, on a daily, if not, you know, midday kind of time frame. So everyone's really trying to keep up with the information that's coming from the government. Obviously, it's a highly reliant on government funding industry. Mm. And so a lot of people are really trying to come to terms with that. But then you've got the secondary impact, which is, you know, people attending healthcare clinics who believe they have this COVID-19. And so really the main focus at the moment is, especially from what we're trying to do for our customers, is trying to minimise the damage done through that. By damage, I mean someone who presents at the practice, who'll sit in a waiting room, who potentially has that virus. And so, yeah, everything is around, we need to screen patients before even a phone call is made. So yeah, even if you think you have any type of symptoms at the moment, you know, here is what you need to do. And so it's been a mad rush for that. And just to come back on the benefiting side, a lot of what I'm hearing is actually quite the opposite.
Right.
In that a lot of our customers, general practitioners, are actually refusing to come to work. They've either requested something like you need to lock the doors,
right,
and if you don't do that, I will refuse to come.
Right.
And so, that's obviously for general practitioners who are not actually self-isolating themselves. Yeah, they're just not turning up. So I've had a lot of customers who say, if I have, you know, another practitioner who actually does that, we're gonna go under.
Right.
So it's a bit of a mishmash.
And I guess from a brand perspective is that, you know, if you attend your local medical centre and there's no GPs there to see you, that's not going to do you many favours in terms of a long-term, you know, your long-term brand. People won't come back, you know, 6 months, a year's time when they need to see you again. They could potentially go elsewhere.
You're spot on. You know, a survey was done on general population of how, you know, what would actually make you switch, you know, practitioners. And the end result was really not a lot. It was like the difference between a service or like something like online bookings.
Yes.
So if your doctor is not even there, absolutely, I think they would say, well, I'm going elsewhere.
Eddie, from your perspective, we've spoken about things in the past where, you know, trends or events that are happening that companies jump on top of and try to get mileage from a marketing perspective. Is this something, I see sound a horribly capitalist question here, but is this something, you know, businesses could potentially profit from in terms of growth?
I think the way you say profit from is probably
not good English. I think
there's you.
That's all right. You know, yeah. So opportunities will definitely arise, whether it's the entertainment events industries, whether it's medical, whether it's anything. I think we're at a time, and we haven't even seen half of it yet unfold, but a lot of businesses will go under. A lot of events, you know, Louisa was saying, a lot of them will go online, and I'm sure we'll talk about this a bit later on, but there'll be a lot of events that, say, whether it's Blues Fest or even Brisbane Festival, and I know I'm talking sort of close to home in Australia for our overseas listeners, but these events may never come back because of, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but so the laws around this, you know, we and businesses are the same. They insure for fire, flood, hail. Do GPs, do GP practices insure for medical coronavirus, you know, really complex, confusing situations, and there's complex and confusing laws that go around these. And again, maybe next podcast you get a lawyer on, Simon. Honestly, that just because this will unfold in the next few months, where we see bars, events, GP clinics, you name it, they are not going to open their doors again, and it's very, very sad. So, you know, there's so many stakeholders involved in this. It's not just the community, and it's not just, say, people presenting themselves being selfish, you know, at clinics, because I've had friends who have friends who are GPs, and people have presented without thinking at all about the care of the people that are looking after them. So it's just such a hard, hard situation, and I don't think I've answered your question.
No, but that was good anyway, Eddie. I guess from, you know, when I look at it, I go, if a company like, you know, Kiki K could go under, what, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago before this hit, that had a very strong brand in the marketplace. I mean, you know, you could argue that they were doing good things and bad things with the brand. But if that brand could suffer, then if you go to your local Westfield or your local shopping centre in the next weekend, there's going to be a lot of other retail brands that are going to be suffering. Outside of the event industry, you know, you've got restaurants, you've got, you know, retail, you've got, you know, I mean, even us as a marketing business, we've got probably, you know, three potential clients that are either going to cut budgets or, you know, stop spending completely. So it's very broad in my perspective. I guess back to that original question, Eddie, is there, if you choose to advertise in this environment, do you draw attention to what is actually happening, or do you, you know, how do you phrase those things? How do you put the, you know, what language do you use?
Yeah, well, there hasn't been a lot of empathy in Australia over Christmas and bushfires and things. So I think, and we've seen it already from a lot of businesses, they've been coming out already going, you know, my gym are doing all that they can. They've used the word COVID-19. They've used the word coronavirus. Mm. So I think being upfront with that at this moment in time, when fear and uncertainty, and as Lachlan said, you want minimum damage, but the messages keep changing all the time. And I've stopped watching the news because... And even going on Twitter, because there's so much out there, and you actually go, oh, I'm not going out, and this is ridiculous. And so you do have to consider being honest and empathetic up front, saying we do care about you, we care about ourselves too, but we're not closed for business. Yeah. Our services are still being provided. We will still provide them offline, and, you know, as Louisa said, we'll get together in Zoom breakout rooms or chats. And our communication will change over the next 6 months, and it has to, because of the fear factor, but also businesses don't want to close, and the economy, we don't want the businesses to close either. We want businesses to keep going, because otherwise it's going to be a very sad Australia and world because there will be a lot of businesses that will close their doors, and it's very, very sad.
Louisa, Eddie mentioned a word there, I think, empathy, which I think is, you know, I think, you know, sometimes Australians do very well with that. Sometimes they struggle with that. Do you think that's the key for you from a communication perspective, you know, in the next sort of 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, I've got kind of two thoughts around this. One is around, you know, I don't think there's ever been a time so important to understand your customer and to understand what that means for them now and what they're going through, because that at the end of the day is going to make a massive difference on how we talk to them in this time.
Yeah.
Are they all consumed by this and therefore it needs to be more in light of that, or is it something that's not causing them as much disruption and therefore it might be, you know, slightly more business as usual type messages? But understanding that differentiation, I think, is really important. The other thing I've got to say is that I have received so many emails, some from companies I can't even remember what they do, telling me what their approach to this is. And I think, you know, sending a blanket email to your whole database telling them how you're sanitizing or whatever it might be a little bit differently is not necessarily the right way to go in this situation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I haven't used them today and I may not use them in the future, it's kind of just surplus messaging at this stage. So I think about where you're putting those messagings. Definitely, you know, if you've got a regular audience that are interacting or coming into your environment, then yes, they're the ones to tell about it. But otherwise, is it something that could maybe sit on your website somewhere as opposed to being sent out to your whole database?
Yeah.
So just thinking about who you're sending those messages to. The other thing I think that's important is some reassurance at this time. I personally am totally open to supporting some businesses, even if I'm kind of supporting them in the future. So for example, I'm thinking about joining my local yoga studio and buying a 20 pass pass. Yeah. So for me right now, I'm happy to buy that because right now I can still go, but I want a little bit of reassurance that they're okay and that they're going to see this through as well.
Yeah.
And I think any company that can, you know, provide that, I know that's difficult, but if there's any way that you can give your client some reassurance that you're going to be okay, you've got a bit of a buffer, that you've got plans in place, then I think customers will be more likely to trust that and keep with you as well.
Lachlan, from your perspective, what channels, your target market, what channels are they going out there and using to communicate to their end user? I mean, yeah, not to criticize your target market, but it always strikes me that, you know, medical professionals aren't the world's best in terms of communicating to their, you know, their customers. But are they, you know, what are they using? How are they communicating that they're still open, that they're still there for business? Or do they just simply wait for people to turn up at the door?
Yeah, look, it's really interesting. It's a landscape that is changing with this environment we are in. We do offer, you know, social media services, which has been in, I'd call it moderate demand up until about 4 or 5 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Now it is, I need to get this message out. And you need to get it out as quickly as possible. Give us the medium to or the platform to get it out. And they're not very good at that communication. You get the exceptions to the rule. For example, we had a doctor who just plonked a camera in front of himself with a screen behind him, a PowerPoint, and just ran through some information about what is it that we're seeing? And I think, you know, coming back to what Eddie said, he used the word fear. And that's really, I think, what we're seeing, you know, especially in the media and seeing kind of some of the worst of humanity in some of the news that we're seeing, is it's all fear kind of playing out. And what this doctor did, he just said, look, here's what it is. This is what we're dealing with. And in a little under a week, that's had 12,000 views.
Right.
And for a doctor standing in front of a camera, that's got to be some kind of record, I would have thought. It's not usually, you know, that kind of inspirational stuff. But what was really clear to us is, okay, people need some information on this, more so what is it as opposed to, you know, what Louise says, we're sanitizing. Yeah, good. Great, I'm glad you are, but that isn't what I need right now. Right now, I need to consume some information to alleviate some of that fear and uncertainty that I've got and you know, people have.
That's a good question, then I'll ask Louisa. If your yoga studio, you know, put together a 2-minute video to say, I mean, I don't know. I mean, would that help in terms of reassuring you that they're in it for the long term? What would they need to say in that 2-minute video? What are they? You know, what are the messages that they need to get across?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And look, I don't think it has to be video. They have actually sent an email out and said, you know, we're wiping down the mats in between and this is what we're doing and we've got these things happening. So I think they've made me comfortable that, you know, it's safe to go. I guess what I'm wondering is it safe to buy something that I'm going to use over the next 12 months? So will they still be around beyond, you know, these next few weeks and months? So yes, that is a much harder thing to say, but maybe there's some subtle ways they can work that into their messaging. You know, we've been here for 12 years. We're going to see this through. You know, we've gone through the ups and downs in the past. We know what it's about. So just maybe highlighting, you know, how long you've been in business, if that's something that you can draw on and make a, you know, a bit of a statement around, look, we've been through stuff before, we're going to see this through. But I think just showing that commitment, obviously only if you can. I mean, if that's not something you can say to your market, then work out something else that you can say. But I think if you've got some of that history that you can draw on, if you can say in some kind of direct but also subtle way that, you know, you've got a plan for how the business is going to deal with this and that you're planning to be through, you know, here on the other side, then I think they're the types of messages you want to try and work in.
And I think Eddie, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say there's so many online yoga videos, and I know this is just one example, but I totally agree, Louisa, be positive, change the tone, but you could have people zooming in to your studio. There's no, if people are afraid and some will be, some won't be. Some will go and disinfect everything. I did some classes last week and I was fine. But, you know, we're going to have to change. Yeah. We're going to have to change the way we think as marketers. We're going to have to change the way we think as business. It's and as a community, you know, we can't, and there can't be this secrecy, especially moving forward. Because
No, go on. I was thinking about what these businesses could do to communicate that longevity or that desire to, you know, remain within the community. A lot of businesses do find it really hard, but even to me, just a poster in the window after me, a lot of businesses that don't even know how to update their own website, but, you know, going to your local printer and saying, can you do me an A3 poster that I can put in my shop window that explains the challenges that we're having and the support that we need.
I was just going to give the example that I know some people have been saying online, you know, if you can support your local restaurant by buying a voucher from them or do something like that. And again, like, I'm all for that, but I guess we want those restaurants to give us a little bit of confidence as well, don't we?
Yeah.
And I think in those cases, maybe it's saying, yep, you know, here's the things that we're doing. We've been able to reduce our staff a bit, you know, offer delivery, do these things, and just give a little bit of proof that they're future-proofing themselves as well in their approach, I think.
I read a blog this morning on LinkedIn that was doing the whole, here's what we think you should do throughout this crisis. And it came from another marketing company. And I kind of looked at it and I went, I didn't know how I felt about it. One of the tips that they'd said in this was that if you see your competitors slowing down in terms of advertising and marketing budget, you should be going hard. And I'm interested to hear all three of you, your opinion on that, whether it's a horribly opportunistic thing to do, or whether that's realistically we should be doing that. You know, Lachlan, what would your thoughts be there?
I want to clarify what do they mean by going hard? Well, like to take saying, their customers or ramp up your own stuff?
Sort of up spending budget and things like that. You know, spend more money.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not an opportunistic person in that respect. I'm more of a stay in your lane kind of operator.
Yeah.
However, I would absolutely say that if I saw an opportunity and it fits within my values and principles of how I do business, then absolutely I would, you know, jump at it. But I've got to come back and have a look at, does this fit in with how I run my business? And if it does, I mean, I would say go for it. So, yeah, in that circumstance, you've got to take a good look at yourself and say, I can see how I can benefit, but am I going to take that jump?
Yeah, yeah. Louisa?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, every scenario here is so industry dependent in the first place. So I think that's maybe they're slowing down for good reason in that they realize that customers aren't paying attention right the second, for example. So I think that's really important. But I mean, primarily worry about yourself. Make sure you know how your customers and your audience is doing and then react appropriately. I think there are going to be opportunities in, you know, in various spaces to talk to people while they're working from home, to engage people who maybe, you know, have different time available on their hands now. So yeah, I think, hey, you can see an opportunity for your business to offer something that's going to fill a gap for people or add value, then great, go for it. But I think, you know, I wouldn't be making decisions based on what others are doing from that perspective.
Eddie?
Well, it depends. If you're an SME and you're really struggling, you've just been crying because you've just put off your staff, you've tightened your belts. I would say if you're, you know, if you're going to spend money that you don't have, it would seem to be a bit arrogant when you've just, you know, you've made someone redundant.
Yeah.
If you're a large company, global, a bank, and you've been doing wonderful things, even though I've never spoken nicely about banks, you know, if there's good messages, you could use that, sure, for CSR, corporate social responsibility, that sort of stuff. Say, yes, you've helped the community in this way. I think if you're an SME, you're going to be really hurting. So, again, it's the situation.
Yeah, look, I think from my perspective, I looked at that when I read it this morning and I went, if I had a dollar to spend in marketing, would I be spending it now? Or would I be sitting on it and spending it in a month, 2 months time when I know people are paying attention? And I think that was Louisa who said that, you know, when people are actually paying attention, you know, that to me would be, yeah, all right, okay, my competitors might be slowing down now, but is this the right, am I going to get a good return on investment, which leads back to our recent podcast with me and Louisa, am I going to get a good return on investment today with that dollar that I spend? So to me, I'd be going, yeah, I could do more with this dollar in a month's time or 2 months' time. That's not
you
to
also
say-
might find, Simon, that you might actually in the future have to actually look to your competitors and work with them and become allies. Yeah. Because you might have to pool your resources because we really don't know what's going to happen. And so I don't think you cut off your nose to spite your face. Sorry, Lachlan, over to you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Collaborative approaches with this stuff is fantastic. If you have, you know, let your backlinking, you know, resource go and someone down the road does it. I mean, I think that's how it has to kind of go. If you can't do it yourself, but you need to provide that service, you definitely got to work with someone that can do it. It's kind of, we do that at the moment. If there's a gap in any kind of service provision that we, you know, we're looking to do.
My last question for today, there's going to be a bounce back. Now, whether that's going to happen in a month's time, 2 months' time, 6 months' time, whatever it might be. And it might be a slow bounce back, but there will be a bounce back. What's the one thing, or keep it nice and tight, but what's the one thing that you could do now to prepare yourself for that? Louisa?
Look, I think there's a lot that you can do now. So if you have the resources and maybe they're not doing what they thought they were going to be doing at this time, I think there's always a massive list in marketing, at least, of activities that you want to check out. So, you know, spend the time now planning for those campaigns that you can do at the right time. I think it's also worth thinking about, just on a side note here, Simon, about, you know, if this is the new status quo for an amount of time, I think people will settle into a new norm and at some point then be responsive again. So it might not be that it's the end of this. It might be that partway through there's an opportunity to, you know, start talking again in a different way. So I think planning those campaigns and getting everything ready as you can to launch and be ready, that would be a great use of time. But then also looking at some things like, you know, I know I've got SEO on my list of things that needs to be looked at, and content. There's always lots of things to, yeah, to keep going with. So putting aside some time for some of those things that you might not otherwise have been able to get to is a good opportunity as well.
Lachlan, from your perspective?
Yeah, for me, it really just comes down to support going above and beyond for your existing customers. You know, for us, there's no such thing as unlimited customers. So it's about, for me, the directive is you guys go above and beyond, do what you can do for our existing customers who are still prepared to, you know, have a budget for digital marketing. And so do whatever we can. And we, my other business is software development, and my software team spent the weekend, putting some code together for some pre-screening for when booking for an online appointment for a doctor. And so people kind of say to us, well, what's that going to cost? And for me, it's, well, no, I need to support you during this time so you can continue. And so for me, when the bounce back hopefully comes, it's just the goodwill that's been created, and hopefully that yeah. kind of comes back.
Excellent.
At some point.
Eddie?
Yeah. I suppose following on from that, the other side of the coin is instead of your customers, which sure, they're definitely your main stakeholder, but your other main stakeholder is your staff. So if you keep your staff informed, allow them to work from home with flexibility, if you can, with need be positive, change your tone, change the language as this continues to unfold. And if you've had to put off staff, then keep them informed as well. Keep them say, we want you to come back one day a week or however you can help them out somehow. So there's a lot of stakeholders in this, in moving ahead, and you just, hopefully businesses will bounce back. But you're right, Louisa, the new normal is what we're going to have to get used to, and that new normal is going to go through quite a few reiterations.
Yeah. I think my one focus when I look at what we do is content. I'm often, sitting here going, I ought to be producing more content, doing more videos, finishing, rewriting a book that I wrote 8 years ago. And now it's me sitting there going, I've got to do this. I've got to do this kind of thing. And that's what I would go and say to people. If there is a break, if you do have time on your hands, now's the time to start thinking about, the production of good content. So, look, I just want to thank you guys for your time today. It has been awesome. I appreciate you guys doing it on a short notice as well. And we'll put everybody's bio and links and LinkedIn profiles in the show notes if anybody wants to chat to any of these people who are on here today. So thank you very much, guys, for your time today.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Sarah.